Please turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is a new one, John. This is new since preacher's been here. Is the button on? Now it is, right? Hebrews chapter 12. I want to talk to you on a thought this morning, preach to you, on running the spiritual race of 2013. We're in a race for God, whether you run or not. Whether you run for God, you're still in the race. The race is before us. Brother Carl, even if we don't, if people don't participate this year, they're still in the race. They're just unofficially non-responsive for what God called us to do. Amen? We're all called to run for God. And I want to just take a few minutes today and look at Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be going to some other scriptures, especially in the book of Psalms. But I'm going to try to challenge you for the service of God this year. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Jesse, where's little Jesse with you? Not, when you see him, tell him preacher missed him, okay? Amen. He's with his mommy today, huh? Amen. Wherefore, look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing also, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They're up in heaven. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now, we all have a race that we're going to run in our life for Christ. How good are we running? How good did we run last year? You know, we could run better this year than we ran last year. I can't make up for anything I lost last year, but I can do something for this year. I can't change the past, but Brother Mike, I can still work on the present and the future. Look, I like verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Boy, that's where your eyes, kids, keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, he'll get you through all the stuff. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, for the joy. Did you read what? For the joy before him endured the cross. Well, when I see the cross, I see excruciating pain and sin of the whole world. Yet he did it joyfully. Wow. If he did that joyfully, how much should we serve him joyfully? Well, I just gave the preacher my tithe. I didn't want to. You ain't giving it to the preacher. It's God's. I don't get none of it. I get a kick on the ball. I'm not giving nothing to the preacher. You ain't going to give nothing to me anyways. I'm not taking it. It's all the Lord's. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah! He's risen! Yep. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And he's getting ready to come. Now, look at verse 3. For consider him. I circled consider. Who should you consider? Jesus. So, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your own minds. In other words, You think you're serving God? Think what he did for you. I can never repay him. But I can do all I can to try to be faithful. Amen? Brother Eddie, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Great to see our preacher in the pulpit preaching your message.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just work in our hearts, Lord, that we would hear what you'd have for us.
Yes.
Lord, I pray for those who are sick. I ask, Lord, that you touch them and heal them up. But most of all, Lord, I pray for the one that might be here that don't know you as Savior. Lord, that in 2013 they can give their life to you and serve you with their whole heart. Now, Lord, bless the service today. Everything that we do and say, we bring honor and glory to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today's the first Sunday of the new year of 2013. And I'm glad you were here the first Sunday. I'm glad I got to be here for the first Sunday. I begin to wonder. On this first Sunday of the new year, I want to challenge myself and I want to challenge each of you to run the spiritual race for Christ this year. You know, what we do for Christ is what we determine to do. Josh, people just don't serve Christ. They do it because they determine to do it. Anything you, if you don't set out to do something, you're not going to do it. You ought to have goals for your life. One of your goals for your life should be, I'm going to do all I can for the cause of Christ. Amen? Listen, you need to make a spiritual decision today on this first Sunday of the year that you're going to make your life count for Christ this year. I'm going to tell you right now, God's let me walk. And he's let me read and do things again. And I haven't got my hands back yet. But Phil, I made my mind up. I'm going to try to do more for Christ this year than I've ever done in all my ministry. So watch out. Yabba dabba do. Amen? I want to win people to Christ. I want to give for the buses and my tithe and for the school. And I want to just give everything that I have. I want it to count for God. How about you? I know, listen, you need to say in your heart today, I'm going to run the race for the cause of Christ this year, and I'm going to sell out for the things of God. By the way, if you don't sell out, you won't do it. For instance, this Bible, I'm challenging you to read your Bible. If you don't sell out this, I'm going to read it, you won't do it. Hello? If you don't sell out that you're going to read your Bible this year through, you won't do it. We only do what we determine to do. As Pastor Dave, I taught him years ago in the ministry, people do what they want to do. People do what they want to do. It's a matter of what you want to do. Turn that TV off for a little bit and read your Bible. Get up in the morning and read your Bible. Stop at noontime and read your Bible. Before you go to bed at night, read your Bible. I wish this whole church would read their Bible this year. And that we, by the way, can I say this? Brother Bobby, if I know you're Bible reading, you and Jamie, if the whole church would read their, get excited about reading their Bible, you'll see a difference in this church. I'm telling you, Brian, you'll see the love of the power of God, the love of God, the Holy Spirit will be magnified. By the way, Pastor Dave, I didn't know he was doing it. Was today your first class on the Holy Spirit? Third, he's teaching on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and boy, you need to come for Sunday school. Some of you need to determine, hey, in 2013, I'm going to get out of bed and I'm going to come to Sunday school. Hello? Now, I've had some physical ailments that wouldn't allow me to only about 45 minutes at a shot, but by God's grace, I'm going to be here for this Sunday school. Amen? Because I am doing better. Today, let me share a few things with you and that will help you for your spiritual run in 2013. I wrote down four. I don't know if we'll get them all done. If I just do two, that'll be all right. I'll be here next week, Lord willing. I'll finish it. Preacher knows. You'll get them in some way or the other anyways. You know, did you ever think in this year, though, Eddie, God might have someone for you and Lizzie that's waiting for you guys to meet him? You ever think about that, Mike? God might have someone out there that you don't even know about yet. And if we're in tune with God, that person he puts in our life way, we could reach out and maybe reach those people where, hello. Are we looking for those that God puts in our pathway? Look for people. I'm going back after one of them nurses at Robinson Hospital. Matter of fact, I'm gonna be at that hospital tomorrow, and after I pray with you, Johnny and Betty, I'm going up the second floor. I'm going to try. I had some nurses promise me they were going to come to this church. I'm taking a stack of tracts. I'm saying, hey, if you're there, Mike, me and you are both going to go up there. And I'm going to go get them nurses. They promised me they'd come. One name is Lauren. And she said, you eat some food. And I witnessed her. She says, preacher, when you get well, I'm going to come to your church. I'm going to hold her to her promise. Amen? Because I can walk now. I can walk. And this year, God wants to do something with, oh, he don't want to use me. He wants to use every person. Hey, just even the little boy that gave the 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes, hey, he made a miracle happen. Oh, I know it's Christ that did it. But you know what? Every one of us has got to be willing to give and do what God puts in our heart. Well, number one, in 2013, to run the race for Christ, you need to read and study God's holy word daily. Bethel, and I promise you I will do this myself, we are going to study the word of God daily. Daily. I mean, not just, I mean, really look at it and ask God to show you more of the scripture, what it would teach. Amen? Listen, praise God. He's given us his holy word to strengthen and guide us on our day. Man, I'm glad I got a Bible. I'm glad I got a Bible, Ruthie, that I know it's pure and without error. I know I got a Bible that God made, God breathed. This is God breathed, this Bible here, this King James Bible. Praise God for the 66 books in the King James Bible. Praise God for the 1,189 chapters in the King James Bible. Praise God for the 31,173 verses in the King James Bible. By the way, I hope our eyes see all those verses this year. Praise God for Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, has 176 verses. And I want you to turn to it right now. By the way, Psalms 117 is the shortest chapter in the Bible. But look at Psalms 119, because I got a whole thing on a lot of stuff on that. Man, it feels good to be back preaching. Look at Psalms 119. Look at verse 11. We need the Word of God. This year, you want to be successful in 2013? Make sure the Word of God is a big part of your life. You'll be as successful as much you'll give the Word of God in your life. The reason you don't care about doing things for Christ, reading you don't care about giving, reading you don't care about the programs, you don't read His Word. See, His Word warms your heart. His Word will get you excited about the things of God. I'm looking at some of my school teachers. You school teachers definitely got to read the Word of God. Every day you have to come to the lion's den with those kids. You need all you can get. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. And every day they're praying, oh God, make this the last day. God bless those Christian teachers in our school. Look at Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word, we're talking about God's Bible. I'd say that's the key for your 2013, by the way. The Bible is your key this year. By the way, it's always your key. Thy word have I hidden my heart. I'm in verse 11, Psalms 119. Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to tell you, you want to keep out of, hey, you kids, you get in the word and you stay in the word, it'll help you stay away from those bad things. It'll help you stay away from alcohol and drugs and illicit sex. It'll help you get away from that stuff. By the way, it'll help you big people too. You get in the word, you won't be looking at that pornography. And by the way, a lot of Christians look at it. When I saw the statistics on it, it about knocked me over. I couldn't. And preachers, unbelievable. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if you're a preacher, or deacon, or whatever you are. You stay away from that pornography. Amen. And by the way, God's word, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It'll keep you. By the way, you husbands, you read the word a lot, you'll love your wife more. And by the way, you wives that read the Bible a lot, you'll even love your husband better than you thought you could. Because it's God's word that will make you love. Our homes need the word of God. Amen. Look at Psalms 119, verse 57. I got several that I wrote down here. Thou art, I'm on verse 57, Psalms 119. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. You know what? That's Billy, that ought to be a goal for Bethel, that we're going to keep his words. We're going to keep his words during our daily life, during this year of 2013. We're going to keep his words going to be before us. How many are going to try to keep his words? Look at Psalms 119. It's all Psalms 119. Look at verse 89. This is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible on the Word of God. You couldn't get a bigger chapter and a better chapter on the Word of God than Psalms 119. Look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know what's exciting about this Bible, Billy? It's already settled. I don't have to worry. I don't need someone to write a new book. I don't need a reversion. I don't need anybody to correct it. I've got the perfect Bible, and it's settled already for in heaven forever. Forever. I'm going to say with my King James Bible because God said it's settled forever. I don't need a new perversion. I don't need written letters. I don't need all the junk that they got out there, NIV, KEY, MOUSE. I don't need it. I got the pure Word of God. You take that NIV and stick it. I got God's Word. I want to argue. No, there's nothing to argue about, Bobby. It's already settled. Look what it says there. Forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. You want to yell about it? Take it up with God. If you're bad and mad about it, you probably won't be going there, though. You'll probably be going to see the other guy. He's mad over it, too, by the way. Satan. Notice Psalms 119, 103. 103. How sweet, I like this. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do you ever notice when people are in the Word of God, you can tell it? They're not as grumpy. They're not as quick to judge. They're not as quick to say, spout off. They have more temperance. I'm here with me. God's word sweetens us up. Sandy, you want to get Billy sweeter? Get him in the Bible. Make him read every day. I mean, Billy, you get so sweet. You get a little like a little chocolate bar, man. Hershey's. You're so sweet. Read that Bible, Billy. I know you do, but you read even more, and you'll get. Sandy will say, "Wow, preacher. I didn't think he could be this good." By the way, there's nothing good about us. It's all God. God brings out the best in us, doesn't he? Look at another verse. Look at Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, we live in a very dark world. Oh, my. And it's getting darker all the time. Hey, you teenagers, you listen to me. You can't make it without the Word of God. Your life will be destroyed with sex and alcohol and drugs. I'm telling you, if you don't get in the Word of God, your life will be destroyed. Because I'm going to tell you something. The world out there wants to take you down. You're some special people that God has here. By the way, you young married couples, I hope you're listening to me. You young men, you ought to be reading that Word of God so your wife looks beautiful to you every day, and not some secretary that where do you work? Boy, preacher, you're back already. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of that simpleness would be gone if we'd get in the Word of God. Amen? Notice the scripture in verse 116. By the way, how many believe we live in a dark world? Look up here. Look, everybody look up here. How many of you have ever been, the lights go out? The light, like lightning knocks out the electric. What's the first thing you do? You grab for a flashlight, right? Like a candle or a flashlight. Why? Because you're in the darkness and you need light. How you can get, so you can find your way to the refrigerator. Might as well eat, you can't do nothing else. Watch. In 2013, here's your light. Here's your light. This will show you. I can keep walking if I follow this light. Trouble is, we don't read. We don't get in this Bible, and so you're walking in darkness. You're walking. Say, I can't find my way. No, you can find your way if you'll get in the Word. The Word will show you the way. Amen. Look at Psalms, verse 116. It's all 119. Look at verse 116. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let not me be ashamed of my hope. By the way, you get in the word, you won't be ashamed. You get out of the word, you will be ashamed. Because what happens, if you don't, you're either going to feed the flesh, the word of God, or you're going to feed it the world. Hello? If you're not reading your Bible, I'm telling you right now, you're ready to fall. Oh, not me, preacher. I'm going to tell you, there's nobody above sinning. There's nobody above falling. The only hope you got is you get a hold of that word, and you get in that word, you stay in that word every single day of your life, and you let that word fill your mind and your spirit and your soul, and you let that word have control of your life, and I guarantee you, you'll walk with God, and God will walk with you, and you'll get victory instead of defeat. Amen? Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words, God's word, what does it give? Yeah. For instance, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but you say, what should I do about, somebody asked me to, say if someone comes to you this year in 2013 and say, will you co-sign for me on a bill? You say, I can't. It's not that I don't love you, but my Bible tells me not to be a surety for anyone's bills. See, God's word will give you light how to handle everything. By the way, no one said that to me. It just came out of me. So someone must have needed that. Don't ask people to co-sign. It's against the scriptures. Hello? Matter of fact, just try paying cash. That always works. Hello? I'm going to tell you, this Bible will keep you out of trouble. This Bible will keep you out of a lot of temptations. You stay in it. Amen? It giveth light and understanding, even unto the simple. That's us. When I read that, this is one of my favorite verses, Coolidge, because God even works with guys like me, the simple guys, the plain fellows. I'm not no big shot. I'm just a plain fellow God saved off the street. I was an alcoholic, barroom guy. I'm glad God saved me out of that. Amen? And had this medical stuff, they asked me, do you drink? And I said, no, I haven't drank for 43 years. I'm glad I haven't drank for 43 years. Then I come back, but I do drink. I'm just drinking a different fountain. Amen? God, the entrance of thy words giveth light. You know, when you read this, Colton, you say, man, you might be reading something in Psalms or somewhere else, and there might have been something that was way before weighing on your mind about should I do this or should I? Is this? And boy, it'll just come to you. God will give you lights. Oh, man, like a light bulb lights up. Yeah, there's what I need to do. Amen? I'll tell you, God's word will guide your life if you'll let it. Look at verse 160. I love this verse. Thy word, I'm in 160, Psalms 119. Thy word is true. Look up your kids. Preachers can let you down. I don't want to, and I hope I don't. But I can let you down. But God's word will never let you down. God's word will never let you down. Thy word is true from the beginning. Every one of thy righteous judgment endureth forever. You can take, the old timers know, we said, you can take this to the bank. You can take it to the bank. God's word is sure. Amen? Look at one more in Psalms 165. I like this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Hey, I'm talking to me now, especially when I watch the Cleveland Browns and the Cleveland Indians and Cleveland Cavaliers. I probably wouldn't have a TV if it went for the sports. That's about all I watch. That's too much. You say, boy, how can I control my temper? I've actually got in front of that TV. I'd get so mad at them coaches, and I'd say, you bird brain, why don't you run this? I'm actually, and Rosie comes in, he can't hear you. I said, well, I'm trying to get inside the TV so I can grab and choke his neck a little bit and make him understand what's right. She said, you're nuts. Hello? Some of the guys are laughing. Buddy, I do the same thing. That stinking tribe. How many of you have ever done that? Rest of your line. Okay. Sean never does it. He's just ornery every day, no matter what. Let me say some great peace. This is a great truth here. Because I have a quick temper. Not lately. I haven't been able to do nothing. But a lot of us have, Eddie, we have quick tempers. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. People get mad. Christians get mad. Someone didn't shake their hand, or they didn't get their name brought up, and they storm out of the church. Ah, I hate them. They don't care about us. No, if you're really walking in the Spirit of God, you won't be offended. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, look up here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. There's nine fruits. How many are with me? If I'm filled with the Spirit of God, Cleveland can't make me lose my religion. But they come pretty close to it. Now, you can't lose your salvation. It's sealed forever. But what I'm saying is this. Some of you husbands, if you were filled with the Word of God, before you yelled at your wife, you wouldn't be yelling at her. She burnt my toast. Well, look at all the other stuff she does for you. Cleans your crummy underwear and makes your bed and feeds you every day. Smells your stinky feet. You forget about all those things. Puts up with your bad breath. Hi, honey. Melts in the morning. Chicken breath. Give me a kiss. Come on, honey bun. No, God, please. Father, forgive me, for I knew not what I did when I married him. Great peace have they that love thy law. Someone does something, boy, the first thing we do, we get mad, we yell and scream. Some of us have tempers. How many would admit they have tempers here? Well, at least you're honest. And you know what? It's because we keep it unchecked. Look up here, all us temper people. We need to temper the temper. And God's word will temper your temper. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, that preacher preached too long, or that preacher didn't. By the way, I know I'm not going to get this done. It's already 11:45. Don't crank your neck. I'm going to quit at 12. I had 4 points. I'm still on one. Welcome back, Cotter, huh? This year, I want us all to get filled with the Word of God so we can put up with everybody. Because we're all fallen sinners. All we are is flesh. None of us are perfect. By the way, a lot of us have got the tempers. We're least perfect. Amen? And how many families would be better if the kids and the mom and dad had their tempers tempered by God? Our Christian homes are being destroyed today because we're letting our flesh destroy them. Yelling and screaming and throwing and going on a rage. God's not in that. Aren't you glad I'm back? I'm glad, no matter if you are, I'm glad. Don't get mad at me. Hold your temper. Great peace. Look, you got to memorize that scripture. Great peace have they that love thy law. If you really love the Word of God, you'll find refuge even when you're mad. Great peace have they that love thy law. And nothing shall offend them. That means, Eddie, there should be nothing Lizzie can do to make you lose your cool. Look at Eddie. Really? If we're in the Word enough, God's Word will take over. You know why Jesus was a perfect example? Jesus was a perfect example. Notice, listen, God's holy word is essential for your daily walk with God. If you don't have God's word, you're not going to have a good walk. Listen, we need to feast upon God's holy word. I use this from like a little commercial. You might say God's holy word is the breakfast of champions. For lunch, for breakfast, for dinner, for the champion. If you want to be a champion for God, how many want to be a champion for God? Then get in his word. Champion in his word. Fill your heart and soul and mind with his word. I'm going to tell you, if you, as a man thinketh, so is he. The reason we're not thinking godly things, we're not putting it in there. Hello? Can anyone say amen or oh me? And number two, lastly, number two. By the way, I had four. So, makes me mad. I can't get all four done, Mike. That's all right. I'll be here all year. I'll get it. Lord willing. You prayed me back. It's your fault. And number two, in 2013, we need compassion for lost souls going to hell. Jude verse 22 says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. I had every one of you stand up in all these different, and most of the ministries, I didn't probably, there might be some of the ministries I didn't get, but several of the ministries that we do here, I had people stand up and recognize your ministries. Do you know how what makes those ministries effective? Compassion. When Bob and Sonia go to that little, the special needs kids, you know what, and Tippy Brook and then some of them go out there, and boy, Tippy just gravitates right to the kids. I'm going to tell you what that is, Bobby, that you and Sonia got. It's love and compassion. And that's what's going to take it for people to reach people this year. They got to look up here. Eddie, when you that's a thankless job, that nursing home. But it's going to take love and compassion to keep doing it. You just keep doing it and letting God bless you. That love and compassion will make a difference for people's lives. Same with the ABL program. Same with the bus ministry. Sunday school. Everything that you do, it takes compassion. And without compassion, the Sunday school and you school teachers, you got to have compassion. If you don't, you'll go nuts. I don't know how you guys do it. I couldn't spend 2 hours, especially the little ones. Wow! The bigger ones, I could go and say, if you don't sit down, I'm going to break your stinking arm. I can still handle some of those big kids. Well, I don't know if I can now. I used to be able to. I'll get Pastor Dave and Brother Mike over there, my bodyguard. I get my hands back. You brought down, I'm coming after you. No, I'm just kidding you. We need compassion. Compassion will make you witness. Compassion will make you go when you don't want to go. Compassion will make you reach out when you don't feel like reaching out. Hello? They'll make you get up and say, I'm going to do it. I don't care. They need me. Hello? They need me. Andy, you have a very special touch for people's lives. She goes around touching all those people at the seniors program. The special letters she writes and it's touched my life many times. She knows I love Labrador Retrievers. And she always has those little beautiful labs on them. I don't know where she gets all them stickers at and stuff, but if you got any lab stickers, give them to Annie. She sends me. I love labs. But best dog ever. They'll probably be in heaven. That's how good a dog they are. I think the black lab will be in heaven. I love Labrador Retrievers. Best dog that God ever made. And so let me get off that tone. Listen, and by the way, I wore a pink shirt today. I wanted to wear a peach, but I didn't have a peach. I feel peachy. So I'm in the pink. If you guys don't like my pink, go see the deacons. They'll tell you to go jump. No, I'm just kidding you. And some having compassion, making a difference. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Remember that, Lizzie, when Eddie drives you nuts. Are you still with me? This week, listen to me. We need compassion for souls. In 2013, we need to make a difference for someone's life. Every day we ought to wake up, Steve, and say, God, can I make a difference for someone's life today? I'm glad someone made a difference for me. I'm glad. I'm glad when I was on Galena Street. Just a kid that was an alcoholic and wayward. Away from God. Used to leave that bar every night at 2:30. The reason I left at 2:30 because that's when they closed. Sometimes they let us stay to five, but they get in trouble if you get caught. I used to walk out of there every night. I'd go up there at Andy's gas, Pure gas station, where I always parked my car there. And I'd look up and I'd say, "Oh God, there's got to be more to life than this. Oh God, there's got to be more to life than this." And then God brought Rosie into my life. And she took me to hear the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, someone makes a difference in everybody's life. Are you looking to make a difference this year for somebody? Now look up here. If every one of us could just win, look at the church right now. If every one of us could just win one soul, I want to win more than one. But Josh, if every one of us would win just one soul and get him in church this year, you realize how full this church would be next year? The choir would have to stay up here. And then we'd have to go up to God would have to give us that building. Amen? How many are with me? I'm trying to force God to do it. Amen? Hello? Not likely. You're right. God does what he wants to do. But if he sees you're earnest about souls, that's what, look up here. God's looking for soul winners. The number one agenda for Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he give him? To win souls. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save them which are lost." Jesus said, I've come to minister my life a ransom for many. I'm going to tell you right now, the whole purpose for the life of Christ, was to die for sinners, to be our sin bearer, to be our Savior. Amen? If you go through all this year and not tell one person about Christ, you've missed it. We ought to keep track. Like tomorrow when we go to the hospital, Mike usually goes there too. I might see Mike tomorrow. Take tracks with you. You ought to have, here, look up here. I know I'm boring you, but you ought to have tracks in your car. You ought to have tracks at your home. You ought to have tracks, keep tracks in your suits. Keep tracks in your coat pockets. Everywhere you go, keep track. We have plenty of tracks. By the way, Bobby, your track that you guys wrote about the little babies, I sent that down to Bearing Precious Seed with Dale Money. He was excited about that track. And I sent that down to Bearing Precious Seed with Dale Money. But we need to have, listen to me. Listen to me when I got down here. Someone you might know today might die and go to hell. Listen to this statistic. I got this off the computer last night. Every day in the U.S., this is United States statistics, approximately 6,887 people die each day in the United States. So roughly 7,000 people die every day in the United States. I didn't say the world. I'm just talking about the United States. 7,000 people in the United States die every single day. By the way, they said 30% of them are teenagers. You think people don't need to get reached? Because when they die without Christ, you know where they're going? They're going to hell. And there's no turning back. You see, look up here. We get too complacent with our salvation. Oh, we're saved, we don't care. But what about the guy? I'm glad someone cared about me. Now listen, time's running out. By the way, cancer is, heart disease is the number one killer. Isn't that ironic? Heart disease is the number one killer in the United States. By the way, heart disease is the number one killer. With the heart, man believes, people don't believe on Christ. It's a heart disease. It's called sin. How many are still with me? Cancer, number two. Just like cancer, sin keeps eating away at your heart and destroys you. Cancer disables your body and just eats away. That's what sin does. It keeps eating away, and finally the person dies. We need to reach out and touch people this year. Amen? Notice what it says in Isaiah 5:14. "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." Every day, get this, 7,000 people from the United States, 7,000 people are dying and dropping out into eternity. Most of them unprepared to meet God. You know, it always goes through my mind. I'm a sports nut. I'd probably be a better Christian if it wasn't for sports, because I spend more time serving God. I watch those football stadiums, Bobby. It goes through my mind all the time. I'll see that horseshoe. And this year I bought some tickets for me and the boys to go. Me and Brother Dave, Pastor Dave and David Richard and Aussie, we're all going to go watch the Ohio State Buckeyes. Yeah. First game of the year in August. You're going to see us on TV. Yeah. I think the Michigan stadium holds over 107,000, somewhere in there. It's a lot. But Ohio State's probably near 100,000. And I often think, and down in Ohio State, probably there's a higher majority, but how many people, I look at those stadiums, Eddie, and I say, if the rapture would happen, how many people would be gone? How many would be left in that stadium? I say the majority would be. Now, granted, Michigan and Ohio are big Bible belts, believe it or not, for the North. Ohio and Michigan have got great fundamental Baptist churches. I don't know if you're aware of that. And maybe you'd have a larger majority of people saved in those stadiums. But still, Bobby, we're still less than 1% probably. That's scary when you think about it. The chances of you witnessing to somebody, they're lost. Amen? That means we need to reach them now while we can. Every day, every hour, every minute, thousands and thousands and thousands of souls are plunging out into eternity. And most of them, Brother Billy, most of them are going out unprepared to meet God. In 2013, today, now, this week, we need to go to your family members. We need to go to your friends. Get some gospel tracts today. And get down on your knees and say, God, make me a soul winner this year in 2000. Make me make a difference. Let me be a difference maker in 2013. It's going to take you wanting to be a difference maker before you will be a difference maker. You know why those great football quarterbacks are good? Because you say, well, they just think they're great. They think it because they believe it. You got to believe you can do something for Christ before you'll do it. I can't witness. Oh, yes, you can. Greater he that's within you than he that's against you. 1 John 4:4. Are you with me? By the way, the more you do it, the easier it gets. It's still hard. I've been preaching for over 30-some years. It's still hard. But you know what? They still need to hear it. We need to go out and win family members, friends. Look at this last scripture, and we're done. It's 12 o'clock. Look at John chapter 1, and I'll quit. By the way, I have another whole page, Mike. But next week or whenever, God will let me do it. The Gospel of John, I want to show you something. We'll be done. About soul winning. This is what I hope you do in 2013. Look at John 1:37. When I get done reading, I'll say a statement and we'll go. And the two, how many got John 1:37? The two disciples who heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and said to them, following, he said to them, what seek ye? What are you going to seek this year, by the way? What's going to be high on your agenda in 2013? Who are you going to be seeking in 2013? I hope it's Christ. I hope it's souls of man. They said to him, Rabbi, which was being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said to them, come and see. I love that word, come. Greatest, I think it's the greatest word in the all dictionary, an invitation to come. Won't you come? Won't you come? Isn't that a great word? When Tammy Lynn was like 5 years old, we was at her grandpa's on a Sunday after. She always wanted to be a preacher. She did get to be a preacher. She preaches to Pastor Dave every day now. But she had a bunch of little kids on the back porch with her. And me and Rosie looked down. She's just as, Tammy was singing, just as I am without, just a little five-year-old. She said, and when she said, won't you come? Won't you come? 5 years old. I used to have her memorize tons of scripture. When she was a little kid, we'd go to my sister and brother-in-law's. They weren't saved. And I'd say, look what Tammy can do. And I'd have her quote 10 or 5, 15 scriptures. And they wouldn't turn Tammy off because they was a little, you know, their little niece. So I got to preach to them to my little girl. Trouble is, she's still preaching. How do you think Pastor David gets all his messages? She critiques them and everything. Don't knock it. Jamie works on these other kids. They work on them. They're all smiling. Yeah, who told you? Listen, the Word of God is so important. We got to get it out. Amen? Look what it says there in verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak, followed him, and was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon. Andrew came to Christ, and what did he do? He went and got his brother. He went back to his family and got his family. You ought to be telling your family about Jesus. You ought to be inviting your friends and family to church. Because the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. People can't get saved outside of hearing the Word of God. They must hear the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. That's why God gave you preachers. You don't have to have a preacher to get saved, but you need to hear the Word of God. He first found his own brother Simon, said unto him, we have found the Messiah. Hey, have you went and say, hey, I found Christ. Would you let me show you? Hello? Oh, they wouldn't listen to me. Why don't you try? Well, we tried, preacher. Well, you're going to wait till they die and then cry because they went to hell? I went back to my family in tears, and a lot of them got saved. Trouble is, you ain't got enough compassion. You ain't got enough concern for your people going to hell. So you're going to let them die and go to hell and say, well, I tried. You didn't try. You didn't try. You need to get a conviction today. You need to get a conviction in 2013. This might be it. You need to get a conviction for your family that's dying and going to hell. Hell's real. Hell's real. Hell's real. And when people die without Christ, they go to hell. It's no laughing matter. It's no joking matter. There's no card games down there. They're not having fun drinking their paps. They're tormented day and night, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Separated God. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And look what he says. And he brought them to Jesus. That'll be our number one goal this year, to bring people to Jesus. By the way, you get in your Bible, you'll have a heart to do it. See, you got cold feet because you don't get in the Word of God. You get in the Word of God, you start filling yourself with the Word of God. The Spirit of God will lead you and fill you. You'll be, all of a sudden, the words will be coming out of your mouth. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is being interpreted stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. He find Philip and said to him, follow me. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip finding Nathanael. Eddie, there's the plan to build the church. Go out soul winning. And by the way, the first ones you go to are your family. Well, they won't hear me. Let them hear anyways. When they die, you're going to say, I wish I had. Go to them in compassion and tears. Say, I love you. I don't care what you think of me. Jesus loves you. You got to get saved. Because if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. By the way, I'm all done. I'll quit. People don't get saved just to get saved. People don't get saved just by saying a prayer. People get saved because they know they're lost and going to die and go to hell. Jesus said, I come to seek and to save them which were lost. People have to see themselves lost before they can get saved. And we failed to bring that message. And I'll tell you why we fail. We don't love enough. I'm all done. We don't love enough. Because if we loved enough, we'd go tell others. Amen? Love makes a difference. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time. Oh God, on this first year, thank you for letting me preach. Oh God. It felt so great to be back in the pulpit. Lord, if there was two things I could have got to my church, it was study and getting the Word this year and be a soul winner. To me, those are the two most important. And I know there's I had other things, prayer and different other things, but Lord,
Help us this year at Bethel Baptist. Help us all to get in the Word. Help us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And help us have a compassion for souls. Help us to be soul winners. Help us each to win at least one person this year. Lord, help us to win, every one of us, if we could just win one person. If we could be that Andrew bringing Peter, or the Philip bringing Nathaniel. Lord, if we could just be those, just bring one to Christ, what a difference we could make. Help us, Father. Help us to serve you with all our heart and soul. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray, dear God, that they'll see their need for Christ and they'll see their only one heartbeat from hell. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder tonight, this morning rather, how many could say, preacher, I know for a fact. I know I'm saved, and I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved, and if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put them down. Is there any today that say, preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. If I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone, just put your hand and put it back down. Hold it up where I can see it. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. It's not wrong to be not sure, but you want to be sure. Pray for me, preacher. I don't want to die and go to hell. Anyone like that? Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Lastly, how many would say, preacher, I've got family members or friends that are not saved, and I need to witness to them. Would you pray that God would use me to witness to my family and friends? Yes, yes, yes. All over the building. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. See them in the back. Amen. Father, help us. Help us this new year of 2013 to be excited about our salvation and to use this year to the fullest extent for the cause of Christ. Help us all to witness. Give us power in our witness that we can bring people to you like Andrew brought Peter, like Philip brought Nathaniel. Lord, please put that in our heart that we would care about every soul that we see. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a